Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, and welcome to the Dudes on Hockey podcast. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Boy, has the mood changed in the room, dude.
Yeah, just a little bit.
As quick as it was high, and now it's an extreme low.
Yeah.
It's so interesting, dude, to read the Twitter feeds just kind of live during the game. And actually, I stopped last night because I was getting a little irritated. How all over the map everybody gets when the Sharks, I mean, did we think they were going to be 10-0? I mean,
dude, they were winning seven. That means if they keep going, they win 48 in a row. Dude, that's how this works.
You know, we said this, and we've been saying this the last 2 weeks with Marlo, discuss. Mm-hmm. As now I say to you, dude, Marlo, no goals in five games, discuss.
Exactly.
We knew that this was going to happen. Mm-hmm. Like, this was going to happen. And, you know, as good as that top line played for those first six or seven games, now, you know, Jumbo, no points in five games, right? Points in five games. Not good.
Yeah.
And Marlo, no goals in five games.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Jumbo, 1 point in the last five games. And as always, as they go, the team goes.
So did the Sharks.
And they are going downhill right now.
Yeah, a little on a skid.
Not producing. So the Sharks have not won in regulation in the last five tries. They lost three in a row. So
yep,
here we are.
So now they're terrible, right? Is everybody jumping on the other side of the boat?
And I think that would be a mistake, you know, if people are doing that, because there's certainly still a lot of positive to take out of, you know, even what happened last night. You know, I think against Chicago after that loss, and let's just start there, dude. Because
yeah, that's the game that
you
we've
were
been
at
waiting
that
for.
Game. I think a lot of the stuff that went down last night was flukalicious, if I may say.
Yes, yes.
And you know, if we had a time machine and could go back and have that major match penalty intent to injure removed from Desjardins, that 5-minute penalty, and then the Sharks get a 4-minute power play, which they were robbed of.
Yes.
Would the game have ended differently? We're never going to know.
Nope.
I mean, the Sharks were scored on in that 4-on-4 time.
That's right, the go-ahead goal.
And that was it.
The winning goal.
That was it.
Mm-hmm.
So
on a fairly unusual play in and of itself.
Right.
Where was Douglas Murray that got his pocket picked right in front of the goal by Jonathan Toews, who threw it out to Patrick Kane, who chucked it into the open net.
Yeah, there was some weird stuff that happened. You know, kind of a funky, you know, Justin Braun had the worst period of his life, you know, in the first period, just a really bad period. Some odd bounces off of skates. You know,
Dan Boyle gave up a step on Toews, who picked his pocket on a Sharks power play and went in alone on a penalty kill, and Dan Boyle took a penalty and still didn't stop a scoring chance from Jonathan Toews.
There's just weird stuff like that you don't see happen, and it was discouraging that the Sharks were up 3-1 and coughed it back up in fairly quick fashion. How did it feel being in the tank? Like, what was your thought? Like,
just
as that was going down,
friggin' awful. Just awful. Especially since it looked like the Blackhawks were rattled. They were on their heels.
Yeah.
I thought the second and third goal were both weak on Crawford. He had a clear look, no obstruction on the outside shot by Wingles. Agreed it was a sniper shot, but those kinds of shots don't go in very often in the NHL. The third goal, Hanzus, again, square to the shooter, took a lot of net, and it still got through him. Michael Hanzus, not exactly known for the wicked Rista, not exactly Joe Sakic.
Unless it's the shootout.
Yeah, shootout, he's nifty. But I thought that the Blackhawks might pull him right then and there. I thought both of those goals were pretty weak. In contrast, I didn't think any of the goals were directly Niemi's fault.
A lot
of them were really fluky.
I agree with that.
Bad giveaways right in front. You know, someone's trying to take it across the goal mouth, goes off Wingle's stick, right to the Blackhawks, pound it in. you can't blame Niemi for that, but you can certainly blame the D. I thought that, you know, it happens time and again. These guys are excellent puck handlers. They're excellent defensive players. And the Sharks are being just slightly casual with the puck in very dangerous places on the ice. Look what happens. This is exactly what happens. You get a team that you had on its heels, goaltending a suspect, and all of a sudden they're back in the game, and then they're winning the game.
Yeah, that it's the kind of game that when it was 3-1, you just wish that this team would turn that corner and finish off a game like that against an elite opponent, and they couldn't do it.
Right.
And then, unfortunately, the referees made a terrible call.
Yep.
Really an awful call on Desjardins. You know, I had the benefit of watching it over and over and over and over and over again at home. Mm-hmm. When you saw that hit live, what was your initial take?
It looked like a big hit. From where I was on the ice, I couldn't see that was an obvious headshot. It's difficult to see these things, right? You know, I saw it more or less from behind, so the back of Desjardins and the back of Mayer's. It certainly wasn't as if, you know, the Stewart hit on Landeskog was more like a T-bone, right? It's like Landeskog was skating directly into Stewart, and Stewart hit him sort of in the chest, the high chest, right, and up. You know, that's certainly a situation where you can hit somebody in the head pretty easily with or without meaning to. When you hit somebody from the side, essentially those two guys were almost skating in the same direction. It's pretty difficult to hit somebody in the head from that position because you sort of have to get over their shoulder blade. You know, you have to get over their deltoid muscle and hit them in the head. And as we can see from the replay, that's what happened. Desjardins just drove right through his shoulder, never touched his head at all, and delivered a hit so thundering that even Mayer's thought it was a headshot after the fact, right? After the game, Mayer's thought it was a headshot, where clearly the replay shows otherwise. So it was such a huge impact that Mayer's felt it everywhere, essentially, apparently. And Mayer's a big dude, too. So that's a pretty good hit by Desjardins.
Yeah, I mean, it was a hit to the shoulder. I mean, on Gary Coleman, that's a headshot, all right?
Right.
On Jamal Mayer's, that's
shoulder to shoulder.
You know, shoulder to shoulder.
That's a hockey hit.
All right. So, I don't know. That disappointing. You know, disappointing to see the game potentially change.
Yep.
On that hit, you know, and I don't know. On Vern Troyer, that's a headshot.
That's right.
All right.
Emmanuel Lewis. How are we going to continue naming short people?
He's no longer with us. Emmanuel Lewis is not fair game. Near his Gary Coleman.
Yeah, you brought up Gary Coleman.
All right, we'll stick with Vern Troyer. He's still around, probably at the Playboy Mansion somewhere.
Okay.
So, dude, this begs the question, and big topic, dude. Is it time for instant replay for things like this, for match penalties? Is it time? They already review goals at the end of the game. When you can decide a game like this.
Mm-hmm. Well, we don't know if it was going to be decisive or not. It certainly would have been different.
But it did, though. I mean, it did. It put the situation in hand.
Well, we don't know if the Blackhawks scored. We don't know if the Sharks would have scored on the ensuing power play. And the
Blackhawks do know what happened, dude. Dude, how dare you disagree with me here?
In terms of match penalties, I'm okay with instant replay. I'm fine with it. I think that makes sense.
Don't you have to get it right? I mean,
that's one of those things you want to get right. Absolutely.
Especially where, you know, the game was over at, I don't know, 10:05, and at 10:06, they rescinded the match penalty.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's unfortunate that, like, if they see in Toronto that it's wrong, why can't they just rescind it then and there?
Mm-hmm.
Why do they have to wait for the game to be over? So that you guys are wrong. Desjardins, you're back.
Yeah.
You're back in, man.
I know.
Like, why do you have to wait? That just seems so stupid to me. I don't understand that.
Well, you don't want to have too many cooks in the kitchen, right? If everybody's constantly second-guessing everything the refs does, then why do you even have refs there? Why don't you just do the whole thing by video?
Okay.
All right.
No. I would never want to see that happen. You know, it's like the argument of having, you know, computers call balls and strikes. You know, you don't want to take that element out of the game. You know, that's part of the fun. But in this case, it went against the Sharks, and...
Mm-hmm.
I'm not happy about it. You know what else I'm not happy about, dude, is, you know, I think this whole instigator business is stupid, and we've seen Chloe be the victim of it now twice, and Duncan Keith, you know, got called for it. But Where was the game misconduct 10 minutes on Duncan Keith?
He's Duncan Keith. That's
so
that's
that
my
means
answer.
He doesn't get a 10-minute. How come Chloe has racked that up the other two times and Duncan Keith didn't get it? What's the difference?
Because Duncan Keith is one of the best players in the NHL.
Okay, so that's why.
That's why.
Oh, good. All right, I'm glad.
So just so we're clear.
Thanks for explaining that.
You're welcome.
It makes me feel a lot better. Has Ryan Chloe just turned into Mike Rupp, who was traded?
I really hope not.
Earlier this week, and I want to talk about that in a little bit. But Ryan Chloe, no, zero goals. 5 assists. This guy used to score clutch goals. I remember that playoff series against Calgary where he just went off. He was like a beast, right?
Yep.
He cannot buy a goal right now.
It's true.
And he's just turned into basically, you know, is he Chris Barch now? I mean, what's
no,
going on? Dude.
He's too skilled for that.
But I know he's too skilled for that, but he's gone mental twice in games. It ends up sitting out whole periods.
Yeah. So, I agree. If I were him, though, I would try and help the team in other ways. Maybe this is how he feels like he can help the team. Maybe not by sitting out, obviously, but by doing something that he knows he can do, be more physical and
so
antagonistic.
This is my point. And I know we're jumping kind of out of the games here, but I feel a natural segue, dude.
Okay.
I'm rolling with the moment.
Go with it.
I was emailed a link, you know, to someone who had posted that the Sharks had two scouts scouting the New York Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold, an hour after I'm sent that link, Mike Rupp is traded to the Minnesota Wild.
Right.
So I put two and two together and wonder if the Sharks were looking at Mike Rupp, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The price that the Wild paid for Rupp was, you know, Daryl Powell,
mm-hmm.
Poe, I don't know how
Powell.
Who's a fourth line mm-hmm. penalty killer. And, Kyle Palmieri, right? Or is it Nick Palmieri? Which one is it?
I can't remember. I
Anyways,
Kyle Palmieri,
you know, yeah, I mean, it's Nick Palmieri, maybe. He was traded by the Devils in the Zidlicky trade, and he's been a fairly disappointing player.
Right.
He's turned into just, you know, the Tim Kennedy of the Minnesota Wild. He's
right.
not going to, not looking to play in the NHL. He well thinks he can, but he's not having it. So when I look at that, I go, gosh, you know, are the Sharks thinking the same thing I was at the moment where I went, you know what? I wouldn't mind Mike Rupp. He scored a goal in the Stanley Cup Finals, right?
And I think that was his only goal ever, wasn't it?
No, dude. He scored two goals in the Winter Classic.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy doesn't suck. And do the Sharks need to bring in a guy like this so Chloe can just knock it off, like stop it, and start playing like a top six forward? Because I feel like he feels the full burden of responsibility right now.
You think so? You think that's what this is?
Yeah.
I don't agree.
You don't think so? That
no.
he feels like he's the only... Who else is going to play cop?
Desjardins?
In the 7 minutes of ice time that he has?
What, like Mike Rupp's going to be skating 20?
No, but he might be skating 10 or 11.
So what's it? Well, tomato, tomato.
Well, dude, I feel like what I'm seeing from Chloe is that he feels like he has to be the league leader in penalty minutes, which is what he is right now. And it's really happened in two incidents.
I think it's more like Chloe isn't scoring, so he's doing something instead. I don't see it as he's trying to take on this mantle of being the physical guy. I don't see that.
Okay.
I see it a different way. I don't think we need another low skill guy. I think we got enough of those.
Yeah,
already.
I guess I don't feel like Mike Rupp is a low skill guy. I think it's not like you're getting Jody Shelley.
He's Daryl Powell, dude. You want to have Daryl Powell? Daryl Powell fights, by the way. Would you rather have Daryl Powell?
No.
Would you be excited to get Daryl Powell?
No.
Then you're excited about Mike Rupp because he scored two goals in a game a while ago.
Oh, dude. See, I think when I look at this team, and ironically, against the Blackhawks, we got some production out of our bottom six, right? You look at, you know,
I'd much rather have James Shepherd playing a lot than Mike Rupp. James Shepherd looked good. I'm not sold on James Shepherd yet. It's not enough games. And I said it last week, but he's providing some stuff
in the bottom six
that I want to see from the bottom six.
I just feel like we're back to having too many guys running around out there, passing first, you know, hitting later. And, you know, Scott Gomez and James Shepherd in the bottom six, that's not good news. Like, those guys are not... those aren't the type of players that I think you see playing in the bottom six of Stanley Cup winners. I just don't think that that type of, you can't have a bunch of guys who are running around out there passing.
See, I don't agree that you need a bunch of bruisers. If the Sharks are getting pushed around and players are getting hit and no one's retaliating and nothing's happening and no one's standing up for anybody else, then I would agree with you. But we saw only a few games ago, that's happening. These guys are stepping up.
Right.
A guy gets hit, Murray steps up. Okay, he takes an elbowing penalty, but he doesn't stand for it. Aaron Volpatti, you're going down. I'm sorry. You know, it's like Desi steps up. He goes and hits somebody. If those kinds of things continue to happen, then I'm pretty happy with the way the bottom six is constituted right now. And I don't think we need to suddenly sacrifice a bunch of skills so we can get another guy who can run around and regulate, because I think we got enough regulation right now.
Okay. Well, I guess I'm concerned that Chloe is playing the wrong role right now. And I want to see him get back to scoring 20 goals.
Coaches are saying, okay, don't worry about scoring, go out there and make sure no one's taking liberties, then I completely agree with you.
I don't think that they're saying that. I think that he's doing that on his own.
I think he's frustrated and he's just flipping out because he can't friggin' score. That's what I think.
All right.
What else you got?
Well, you know,
Should we go to an email? We got a couple emails.
Let's go to an email, dude.
All right. Watching the past few games, it doesn't look like much has changed with the Sharks. Funny, I was thinking the same thing. This is from Paul. They still appear to lack the intangibles that is needed to compete in the top three or four teams in the NHL. Their scoring is inconsistent and streaky, and it appears that at least one aspect of their game is always in a slump, whether it's goaltending, scoring from the top lines, third and fourth line scoring, defense, power play, or penalty kill. They never seem to be kicking off on all cylinders for any extended period of time. In addition, I'm very disappointed in Ryan Clough, who's transformed into an agitator.
Oh, here we go.
Yep. Where are the offense?
All right, Paul.
Yeah, Paul's on your side, dude. Don't expect Clough to be a Shark next season with the cap being lower than all. Any thoughts? Am I just being a pessimist because I'm scared by past Sharks performances? They won 7 of the first 10 games after all, but I just don't feel right the way the team is playing. Well, they've lost 3 in a row, so of course, you know, obviously you should not feel right about the way this team is playing.
I think that there have been things, Paul, that when you look at how the Sharks are playing, I'm still happy with the goaltending.
Very
happy. The goaltending's been good. Even in the losses, it's been good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you can pin any of those losses on Niemi and Greiss. I don't think you can.
Yeah.
Speaking of goaltending, the backup goaltender for the Ducks is really good.
Yes, he's good.
He's good, and I think Hiller's toast, man.
Really?
Yeah. Why would you want... I mean, hey, if you're the Ducks, I mean, you're Bob Murray... Bob Murray will go out and trade Hiller for something dumb.
Right.
But, I mean, aren't you calling Edmonton right now and going, hey?
He's probably calling and trying to get Luongo right now, knowing Bob Murray.
Anyone who needs a goaltender, I'd offer up Jonas Hiller and make sure to include his vertigo meds. But, because you don't need him. You don't need him. That guy was good.
Yeah. How many games do you play in the NHL now?
Probably like 3.
Yeah.
But... hey.
Oh, he's good. Keep him.
3 good games.
Patrick Laliem, Andrew Rakoff. What could go wrong? Right?
I don't know. I thought that guy looked pretty good.
You know, we should go get Steve Mason. That guy looked awesome in his first 5 games. He was great.
You, my friend, are a jerk.
I know. I agree.
Hey, happy birthday, by the way.
Thanks.
From Dudes Nation. We recorded right before your birthday, and now it's after. So,
yep.
Your few more days of wrinkles and oldness.
That's
so,
right.
So, welcome to the club, dude.
Well, you know, feels...
nice. Are you feeling discouraged? I mean, of course, we're not happy with 3 losses in a row, but, you know, how are you feeling right now?
I'm certainly feeling more discouraged now than I was a few games ago, but but again, I think the Sharks weren't going to go 48-0. We all knew this, and I may not be as encouraged by the Chicago losses maybe you were, but the Sharks are somewhere in the middle between going 7-0 and going 0-3. Right? The Sharks are somewhere... around a 7-3 team overall, and they're the way that the other teams in the division are playing, with maybe the exception of the Ducks, who are still going pretty damn well. The Kings are not playing well,
right?
You know, the Stars are definitely not playing well, and they lost Ray Whitney, didn't they?
Right.
And you know, Phoenix not looking very good either, not looking great. They win some games and then they get crushed. The Sharks have just as good of a chance they ever had to win this division. Maybe better, because LA is really struggling. So I think the Sharks are a runaway Stanley Cup favorite? Of course not. Of course not. But they weren't after they were 7-0 either. So they're about where I thought they were. The one thing I'm really pretty happy with so far this season, above all, is goaltending. You know, I've been worried that the Sharks are a little bit burdened by this contract, and you know, we talked about buying Niemi out if there was a buyout clause and amnesty and all this kind of stuff. And he's playing really well, and it's hard to make a cup run if you have pretty bad goaltending. So right. If he can continue to play nice and steady, Greiss is playing very well. They should give Greiss plenty of starts. Keep Niemi fresh. If this tandem thing works, then I'm pretty encouraged. I'm actually feeling a little bit more optimistic than I normally would be just because of that.
And up until really last night, the defense has been pretty good too.
Yeah, and the penalty kill has been really good. Yeah, and that was the weakest part of the Sharks last year.
Penalty kill has been solid, you know, and it has shown leaps and bounds of improvement. And I like the style, and I think it can only get better as they continue to play this aggressive fashion. And the power play's cooled off a little bit, but you know that's always going to be a strength of this team. And you know, we said it at the top. I mean, this team will go as the big guns go. Mm-hmm. So, you know, whether Joe and Patty are cooling off because teams are keying in more on them, I mean, that's hard to imagine that's true. They're always keying in on those guys.
That's going
to
be true of every team. You're telling me that Chicago's going to be in great shape if Hossa, Taves, Kane, and Sharp aren't scoring?
No,
of course,
but
they're going to be in bad shape.
But what you want to see is get a little more contribution from the bottom six, which just has not been happening until last night, ironically enough. Yes. And then they lost anyways, so what do we know? But we have another email here, I think, from
Madeline,
right?
Scout.
Yes, and she has some good comments here on the next topic I'd love to talk about.
Okay, her first question is, who do you like better, Irwin, Demers, or Murray?
Great question.
Because besides Murray's presence on the power play, I would like to see Murray scratch.
I think she means the kill.
I hope she means the kill, because I don't want to see him on the power. I'd like to see Murray scratch, and for some reason, I love how Irwin plays, starting to feel more comfortable with him on the ice than either Demers or Murray. Okay. So, dude, what's the answer to this question? Demers, Murray, or Irwin? Who do you like?
Okay, well, right now, if I had to pick between the three right now, with Brent Burns not playing, I would pick Jason Demers.
Okay.
Because I think of the three, he clearly is the best offensive player. And, you know, I mean, we saw what happened when Dan Boyle was out for two games. I mean, the Sharks just struggle.
Yeah.
And Boyle's, you know, he's still got the flu, and he wasn't quite himself last night.
No,
and
I don't think so.
I mean, the guy's, he's struggling. And, you know, Dan Boyle's getting up there too. I mean, as effective as he is still.
Yep.
You know, he's going to need, with all these games crammed in, he's going to need to play some fewer minutes to keep the tread on the tires. So I think Demers gives them the best shot at relieving some of Boyle's burden on the power play and in some, you know, significant moments in the game. I would pick Demers at this point in time. And I thought it was interesting that they didn't play him last night. I thought that was interesting. That's nothing against Matt Irwin.
Yeah.
And really, you know, Douglas Murray, I think, is useful in terms of what he is as a player. Mm-hmm. But I picked Demers. Who would you pick?
I picked Demers, too. I cannot throw my lot with a guy who's played 10 games in the NHL. I just can't. If I was forced to make a question, you know, answer the question, if you could only start one of those three guys the rest of the entire year, who would you pick? My answer is Jason Demers. Because we've seen rookies slump after a few games, we see them tail off, they get overmatched. It happens. It's totally natural for a rookie to do well. They're excited at first, they're really pumped for all the games, and then the grind of the season kind of comes on and the play starts to tail off. I'm not saying that's going to happen with Matt Irwin. Maybe it turns into Erik Karlsson, who knows? But maybe it turns into, you know, somebody else that is, you know, is sent back to junior. He turns into,
what you smoking, dude?
Mark Scheifele. You know, I mean, this guy was supposed
Karlsson.
To be, he was supposed to be so good, Mark Scheifele. And now they're sending him down to the NHL.
Right.
So these things happen. I'd love to see Matt Irwin find a way to get in and out of the lineup and see if he can really turn into a steady and productive NHL player. I hope he does, but I think we've seen a little bit more track record out of Demers. So I pick him. Murray, I think someone was texted me or my friend I was sitting with at the game last night and said, Murray is no longer an NHL skilled player. He's no longer belongs in the NHL.
Hmm.
I don't know if I necessarily agree with that.
There's
no doubt in my mind that he has below average, barely passable NHL skating ability, but Murray could be torched 5 to 10 times a game just because of that. And he's not. He has good hockey sense. He has physicality. He can see the play. He knows what he's doing.
He had a huge hit last night.
He's still remarkably effective for how slow he is. And it's really too bad, because if he was just a slightly better skater, he would be a hell of a lot better player.
Yeah.
So I'm not ready to count out Douglas Murray yet, but if his skating gets any worse, he's not going to be able to cover it anymore. I mean, he got tooled a couple of times last night.
So let me ask you this. You know, the Sharks, when Burns comes back, and you know, reports are that he's skating, and
yep,
it's been implied that it's possible he's going to be back in the next couple of weeks. When he comes back, the Sharks have 8 NHL-ready defensemen on the roster.
Yep.
So do you choose path A, which is try and trade one of them to improve the bottom six or get some other sort of useful player? Or do you choose path B, which is keep them all and keep everybody fresh and just play whoever's playing the best and have some quality depth? Which path do you choose?
Oh man, that's a tough one. I guess it depends on what you can get. For these guys, because I don't know if you're going to get a ton for Demers. I don't know if you're going to get a ton for Braun. And do you really want to...
Well, I would not trade Justin Braun.
Or Murray or any of those guys.
And I don't think you could get much for Murray.
Exactly. So is it really worth it to get a 4th or 5th round pick for one of these guys?
Right.
In order to thin the roster a little bit? I'd rather take the hit. Maybe have to... You send Matt Irwin down because he doesn't have to clear waivers. And if that's what you do, that's what you do. Get him some playing time in Worcester, and if somebody else goes down, you know, maybe you make some hard decisions next year and you bring him up and say, you're ready for the NHL, kid.
Yeah,
full-time.
I agree. I think that you keep the depth, because we've seen it already bite so many teams around the NHL with so many injuries, and someone else is going to get hurt on the Sharks. It's going to happen. We've already seen Dan Boyle get the flu. TJ Gagliardi has playing time flu, evidently. It's good to see that
he has a new position. It's called left out. That's his new position.
That McClellan has passed his I hate you torch from McGinn to Gagliardi.
Great.
But we'll talk about that in a moment. But I think you keep him. I think you can't get much for Murray.
Yeah.
You know, what are you going to get? Like a 5th rounder?
If that.
This guy is making $2.5 million. He's unrestricted at the end of the year. I don't think he's coming back based on the Sharks' depth. I also find it interesting that Patrecki is still on the roster. Now, I know they sent him to Worcester for conditioning, but they didn't send him down. And I think you can send him down because he has played one game. You know, so
yep.
I find that curious that he's even still around, you know.
There must be just some sort of weird CBA reason why they're doing that.
Well, I mean, so I don't know.
He doesn't have to clear waivers.
CBA reason, or they just want him around to experience life in the NHL because they think that it's possible he could be part of the team in the future. You know, if you have Patrecki and you believe that he can fill that physical 6th defenseman role, then you're going to let Murray leave at the end of the year.
Right.
You know? I think that's a given anyways. I mean, you're not going to keep him for that kind of money.
I agree. I don't think Murray's going to be here next year. Let me get to the last paragraph of Madeline's email, because okay, she's talking prospects.
Like it.
Speaking of Worcester, she said, BU lost in the beanpot, but Nieto is looking good, but they had to split up O'Regan and Nieto because Myron, who is a forward on BU's team, was mad about not getting more ice time, so he left for the Canucks farm system.
I want more ice time.
Anyways, on the Sharks prospects, Nieto continues to impress me. He's a left wing, super fast, creative, and defensively responsible. O'Regan is good, but so far I can see Nieto maybe making the Sharks more, because he seems to be more of what the Sharks need. O'Regan is a good playmaker with good hands and always goes to the dirty areas. So thanks for the update, scouting report. It's nice to see that the Sharks have a couple good college players. They've had really good luck with some college players in the past.
And, yeah, they sure have.
And hopefully they will again very soon, and maybe Matt Nieto will be one of them. Lord knows the Sharks need forwards, because I saw Marek Vienensky got sent back down to the Bulls.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ooh, not good.
Yeah, not good.
Not good. Yeah, the forward prospect crop currently in the minors is pretty bleak.
It's pretty nasty.
Dude, what is going on with TJ Gagliardi? What's the story here, and what's your take on this?
Dude,
because
I have
this guy has fallen so far into the abyss.
I have inside information.
You do?
Yes. Bad breath. That's what it is. No one can stand that.
5 minutes for halitosis.
You know, the Sharks trainer and two of the coaches have given him breath mints. You just can't take the hint, and they have to scratch him because they can't.
I would think that's a reason to play him. I mean, who's going to want to line up next to that guy? I have no idea. It's a bit unsettling, and you know, it's not like he was playing like 4 or 5 minutes. He was playing like 12, 13 minutes, and then now he's not even playing. So,
but it's not like he was playing awesome either.
He had 2 assists. I felt like he was playing on the kill. I didn't feel like he was playing bad.
Oh, me either.
I certainly thought Wingles was playing worse.
Yeah, I wasn't happy with Wingles until last night. Obviously, last night was his best game of the year.
And I don't know. I feel like
everything we got from Colorado is broken and
so
tainted.
This is my question, dude.
Yeah.
Is the McGinn, who is, you know, as last I checked, 4th on the Avs in scoring and playing on the top line because Landeskog is out.
Right.
Scarbosa, who is now playing regular NHL minutes for the Avalanche.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike Connolly for Winnick, who's gone.
Right.
And playing an important role on a division rival.
Yeah.
Gagliardi, who's not playing.
Right.
And the infamous Doug Wilson 7th round pick.
Yeah.
Is this the worst trade in Sharks in Doug Wilson's tenure as GM?
Oh man, it's top 2 or 3, if not number 1. It's close. I was thinking about this the other day. You know, cuz you can't rate trades on like what happens 5 years down the road. Like you can't necessarily fault the Sharks for, say, giving up on Josh Georges, cuz I didn't really see Josh Georges turning into a really good NHL player, and he did, and he deserves the credit, and Montreal deserves the credit for developing him, but
yeah, I think that that's the one that you might be able to put the argument down and go, that one might be the worst.
The Georges
trade might be the worst because of what it's turned into, right?
Yeah. But see, like I said, I don't grade trades that way because it's just not fair. Because you can't predict what's going to happen 5 years down the road.
Isn't that part of the deal? Is that you're supposed to be able to project? Like,
well, if you are, then everybody would draft an NHL player in the first round, and they don't, right?
Oh, well, that's what makes a good organization is that you're able to, you know, tell the difference between a Patrick Sharp and an Alexei Semenov. You know, you know the difference.
But by that metric, the Sharks have actually done really well.
Sure.
Most of their first-round draft picks make the NHL.
They certainly have. And Doug Wilson has done really well in the past. And, I mean, look at the bait that got the Dan Boyle trade done. Part of it was Ty Wishart.
Yeah.
This guy is on the Islander, and he's not even playing in the NHL.
He's out.
You know,
although Matt Carl's doing pretty well.
Yeah, Matt Carl's doing fine, but you'd rather have Dan Boyle every single day over Matt Carl.
There's no question.
So, you know, their projection on prospects has been pretty right on in terms of giving up on guys at the right time, you know, getting rid of Chichu and a set of Gucci. I mean, like, that's looking
good.
I mean,
Coyle play his first game?
Yeah, he might have, but I mean, And Coyle might end up being good, and you know that could end up biting, you know, the Sharks as well. But you know, they've looked pretty good in terms of knowing when to cut bait on guys. But I don't understand. I want someone to explain to me the motivation behind making this trade, because in terms of hockey sense, last year when McGinn was probably the most improved player on the team, and then he gets
traded dumped.
Along with 2 young forwards who the Sharks don't have a lot of good quality forwards in their system, for 2 guys they clearly aren't they don't want.
Yeah, I don't get it. I think you're right. I think this is the worst. The other trade that makes sense to me, when we traded Ehrhoff to Vancouver, that was to clear salary, but if you're evaluating each trade on its own in a vacuum, that might be the worst because we traded a top two defenseman for 2 guys that never were going to sniff the NHL.
Right. But at least you could look at that and understand the motivation. That was clear.
Right.
It was to get rid of his salary, to dump his salary. On this, I have no idea what the motivation was. Unless McGinn did, he must have done something off ice.
Well, that's, I think, is the reason for Winnick not staying too. I think there's something that happened.
Someone, you know who we need to have on? We need to have on Mark Purdy because he'll tell us the real deal.
You think so?
Don't you think, dude? He told us that Al McInnes story.
That was pretty good. That's a good story.
Actually,
we're both like almost obsessed with this Winnick thing.
I am
obsessed with it too, because if you look at, I read the Hockey Prospectus again, basically cover to cover, and they say the same thing about Winnick every year. They say he's one of like the better puck possession players. He's a great defensive player. He doesn't score a lot, but his Corsi is great. He keeps puck out of his own zone. He is a really underrated player, and they can't understand why he's on four teams in 5 years or whatever it is, or three teams in 4 years. It just makes no sense. There's got to be something about Daniel Winnick. Maybe he's just a jerk. I have no idea. I don't know anything about Daniel Winnick other than how he plays on the ice, but I can't help but think there's something else other than his play, because I had no problems with the way he played for the Sharks.
No, we liked him. We were convinced that he was the centerpiece of that deal.
Yeah.
And then... I don't know. People probably turned off the podcast by now. They're so tired of us.
I wanted an answer, though.
But we're fixated on it. You know, we're turning to Mark Purdy. Now the Super Bowl's over, we got to have Purdy on because he's been pretty upfront. If he knows something, I think he'd share it. So we've tried to get it out of Kevin Kurz. We couldn't.
Yeah.
You know, we're certainly not going to ask Randy Hahn.
Yeah.
He's not going to tell us.
Right.
So I think Purdy's our only shot at maybe getting any sort of information about what happened there, because nobody seems to want to talk about
it. Or at least wild speculation, the kind that we like.
Oh, yeah. I just want some sort of... Throw me a bone here.
I just want an...
Something.
I want a plausible story.
Someone tell me something. Yeah. So with the Sharks having a few days off, is this a good or a bad thing in terms of busting out of this mini slump?
I think it's a good thing. They had a lot of games. You know, I went to a lot of games last week or so. You know, they're going to need all the time they can get off, and I can, you know, they're going to play Phoenix on Saturday, and it's nice to have a couple days, and, you know, maybe Boyle can get finally over the flu, and these guys can get healthy again, and they can tune up the power play a little bit and start going at them again. I think we should beat Phoenix. We need to beat Phoenix at this point. Seems like the Ducks have our number for some reason. It just bugs me, but there's no excuse not to beat Phoenix on Saturday. They have to. They're going to be rested. They're going to be ready. It's here. If they don't beat Phoenix, I'm going to be very disappointed. The loss streak will extend to four games.
Heading into a long road trip. So
they have to win that game.
That's not how you want to start. So hopefully they'll turn it around Saturday afternoon versus Phoenix, and then kick off the road trip. And we'll be back sometime around then, hopefully talking about some W's.
Let's get some wins.
Hate the show? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.